אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. Israel is mourning the deaths of three hostages in Gaza who were shot dead by Israeli troops in Gaza City's Shejaia neighborhood on Friday morning. The initial probe into the tragic incident indicates that the men were shirtless and one of them was carrying a stick with a makeshift white flag. IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari announced on Friday evening that troops mistakenly identified the three as a threat and opened fire at them, killing them. Hagari said the IDF bears full responsibility for the tragic incident, a sentiment confirmed by Chief of Staff Herzia Levy last night. A soldier who believed the men moving towards him was an attempt by Hamas to lure IDF soldiers into a trap immediately opened fire and shouted terrorists to the other forces. That soldier killed two of the men, while the third man, who was hit and wounded, fled back into the building from which he came. At that stage, the commander of the battalion called out to the forces to stop shooting. Some troops in the area heard someone, apparently the third hostage, shouting help in Hebrew. Moments later, the third man came out of the building again, to which he had fled, and another soldier opened fire, killing him. The soldier who opened fire on identifying the three men did so against protocols, as did the soldier who killed the third man. The three bodies were taken to Israel for identification. They were Yotam Chaim, 28, who was a drummer for the heavy metal band Persephone. He was last seen in a video he took on the morning of October 7th, showing himself in the front door of his home in Kfar Aza before he was abducted to Gaza. Samar Fuad Talalka, 22, who was working in the kibbutz near Am Hatchery, which he often did during the weekend shifts when Hamas terrorists stormed the kibbutz. And Alon Shamriz, 26, a computer engineering student who was abducted from his Kfar Aza home. Asked how the hostages were able to escape Hamas captivity, Hagari speculated that the military says that the three either fled or were abandoned by the terrorists who held them captive as IDF forces closed in. Multiple critics noted that Prime Minister Netanyahu did not announce the tragedy in person. Einav Schiff, a journalist for Yediot Achronot, wrote the IDF spokesperson was abandoned last night. He was not the one who was supposed to look the public in the eye and inform them about the tragedy, but the Prime Minister, or at least the Defence Minister, a Chief of Staff. She says it's not surprising but disappointing. The Prime Minister later said, "Together with the entire people of Israel, I bow my head in deep sorrow and mourn the fall of three of our dear sons who were taken hostage. This is an unbearable tragedy. The entire state of Israel mourns this evening. My heart goes out to the grieving families in their difficult time." Atta Abu Madighem, the mayor of the Bedouin town of Rahat, where Talalka was a resident, mourned the mistaken killing of the hostages. "Such bitter news. Bedouins and Jews were taken hostage together, managed to flee together in an effort to continue their lives, and ended their lives together in this very tragic event." It is believed that 132 hostages remain in Gaza, but not all of them are alive. The IDF has confirmed the deaths of 20 of those still being held, citing new intelligence and findings obtained by troops operating in Gaza. The IDF announced on Friday that troops had found the bodies of three of the hostages taken captive by Hamas terrorists on October the 7th. They were Corporal Nick Beza, 19, Sergeant Ron Sherman, 19, and Elia Toledano, a 28-year-old French-Israeli citizen. Last night it was announced that art student Inbar Heyman, 27, had been murdered by her Hamas captors. Holding an hourglass at Tel Aviv's hostage square last night, Ruby Chen, whose son Itai is being held hostage by Hamas, spoke on behalf of families of hostages to hundreds of people gathered there. He said, "We have no time. This is why I'm walking around with this hourglass, both here and in the United States." Chen made two demands: that the Israeli cabinet meet us today and that it tells us what offer is on the table. He also said the cabinet is avoiding meeting families of hostages. He said, "We need to free terrorists with blood on their hands to get the hostages back, or my son's coming home in a bag." And he also said meeting President Joe Biden is easier than getting a meeting with the war cabinet. Dani Elgarat, whose brother Yitzhak is being held by Hamas, threatened to set up an encampment outside the nearby Kiryat Army base until there's an Israeli plan for an exchange with Hamas. The War Cabinet met late last night to discuss renewed efforts to reach a deal to free additional hostages. The meeting came after Mossad head David Barnea met with Qatari Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani in Finland on Friday in an effort to restart the talks. On Thursday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defence Minister Yoav Gallant, War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz and other senior advisers met with US National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan and his team in Tel Aviv to discuss the future of the war in Gaza. The US, concerned about the conditions for civilians in Gaza, has been pressuring Israel to end the war as quickly as possible. Israel, for her part, says that we need at least until the end of January to meet its goals. President Joe Biden has been unswerving in his support for Israel in her right to rid Gaza of Hamas, acknowledging that doing so is a matter of self-defense. There are, however, major differences of opinion between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Biden on the day after. The US insists that a reformed Palestinian authority will rule Gaza. Netanyahu says it will not have Hamasstan or Fatahstan on our border. On Wednesday, after pressure from the Biden administration, the Kerem Shalom border crossing station opened for inspecting humanitarian aid deliveries to Gaza. Israel insists that the aid sent into Gaza is sufficient to meet the humanitarian needs, but it is not reaching the people who need it. One of the reasons has been the slow process of entry into Gaza through the Rafah crossing with Egypt. Another problem, shown on videos released by the IDF last week, is Hamas looting the trucks before they reach the safe zones where thousands of evacuees are reliant on the deliveries. The IDF announced the deaths of three soldiers fighting in Gaza on Thursday and Friday, pushing the toll of fallen soldiers in the ground offensive to 119. Throughout the week, despite the ground offensive, fire from Gaza into Israel, including some heavy barrages into the centre of the country, continued. The first attack on the Jerusalem area for many weeks occurred on Friday night. In the north, Hezbollah continues its assault on northern Israel, with the Air Force responding. The IDF on Thursday completed a counter-terrorism operation in Jenin. Troops arrested 60 wanted Palestinians, seized weapons and explosive devices, found more than 10 tunnel shafts, 7 labs used to manufacture explosive devices, and 5 war rooms used to monitor IDF operations. During the raid, the IDF carried out 2 drone strikes against groups of armed Palestinians, hurling explosive devices and shooting at troops. 10 armed Palestinians were killed. Amendments to the 2023 budget were passed in the Knesset on Wednesday, purportedly to cover the costs of the war in Gaza, the needs of evacuees, and the economic impact of the ongoing military campaign, but controversially including additional funding to right-wing causes which are part of the coalition arrangements made in forming this government. And 200,000 Israelis are still displaced from their homes in the Gaza border region and in the north of the country. This is Peter Joseph Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.